they had defied his commands to let his people go. He turned their water into blood, poisoning all the fish. Then frogs overran the land and even invaded the king's bedrooms. When the Lord spoke, flies descended on the Egyptians, and gnats swarmed across Egypt. He sent them hail instead of rain, and lightning flashed over the land. He ruined their grapevines and fig trees and shattered all their trees. He spoke, and hordes of locusts came, young locusts beyond number. They ate up everything green in the land, destroying all the crops in their fields. Then he killed the oldest son in each Egyptian home, the pride and joy of each family. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
This seems like, feels like one of those days where things aren't quite all going the way you plan for them to go. You ever have days like that?
Yeah.
You know what I appreciate? God is still here.
That's right.
God is with us, whether we're just cruising through and everything is going great. God is with us when we're struggling and things aren't going so great. God's not the one who moves, you know? So God is here with us. And so as we get started this morning, you know, whatever you're feeling, whatever is going on in your life, I just encourage you to just kind of, again, just take a deep breath. We've had some worship that probably has helped a little bit. And open up your heart. Because I say this on a regular basis. But I think you'll get from this message whatever you put into it. So you would say, well, no, it's whatever I put into, you know, no, Pastor, it's what you put into it that's going to tell me how good of a message it is. And I would counter that and say, as much as the effort and time and energy that I put into preparing the message, it can still do nothing if you're not really present, you know, and taking in and really asking God to speak. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and dismiss the children for Children's Church. And I want to begin by playing a video. This video is a summary in musical terms of what Evan preached about last week. So let's go ahead and listen to this. So it's just. Yeah.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man?
Mary, did you know that your baby.
Oh,
So why do you think I picked that video to describe musically what Evan spoke about last week? Anyone want to venture to guess? Beautiful harmony. Beautiful harmony. Man, I mean, that group, say what you will about them, you know, whatever, but they blend their voices into this beautiful sound, a sound that God desires for you to bring your life into harmony with His life, that a sound that God wants to bring into your relationships, a sound that God desires to actually establish in all of creation. Harmony, beauty. And that is the sound of God. That is the sound that was heard in paradise. The sound that was heard in the Garden of Eden. It was a harmonious sound. And it was certainly God's original intent for humanity and creation, as we see in the Garden of Eden. If you look at Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, we see the work and the creation of God. And we see God placing Adam and Eve into the garden, and there was harmony. We don't know for how long or the timing of everything. But then, unfortunately, something horrible happened in Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve ate from the one tree that God commanded them not to. And instead of harmony, all of a sudden, dissonance and discord entered into all of creation. And now, instead of the sound of Mary, did you know, we have this sound. Did you like that sound?
Yeah,
Philip liked it. That is the sound that entered in at the fall. And we've been struggling with that sound since that time. In written words, that dissonance, that discord, because that's what you just heard, that sin brings that. When we are not in Christ, when we are not walking in the way of God, then life begins to feel more like the piano than like Mary, did you know? And again, that was in musical terms. In written terms, written words, it says this in Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. To the woman, he said this. So this is after they've eaten of the fruit. They've disobeyed the one command of God. God gave everything else to them, everything, and asked only one thing: don't eat of the tree. And why did God do that? Because God's a spoilsport? No, because if you eat of this tree, it's not going to go well for you. So then this is the consequences. I will greatly increase your pangs in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Which is part of the curse, by the way, just to reiterate. Many of you women in here have experienced the dissonance of childbirth. It still manages to be a beautiful thing in the end, but my, oh my. Kind of felt like that piano. And to the man he said this: because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. And therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man at the east of the Garden of Eden. He placed the cherubim and a sword flaming and turning to guard the way to the tree of life. You see, we often just think of the fall of humanity as just impacting us in our hearts, in our minds. We often think of the fall as just impacting humanity, but the fall impacted all of creation. And that's what the series we're in, right? We got one more week next week of it, but and the point of the message today really is how sin is, you can see sin even in creation today. And part of the way we see sin, we're so used to it, is that where before things would just flourish and grow and in paradise, even though the Adam and Eve were still working in the garden, it wasn't by the sweat of their brow. There were no weeds. Just go look at my garden beds and you can see the consequences of sin, both the sin of Adam and Eve and my own sin by not getting out there enough and keeping my garden clean, right? I mean, but we're constantly battling weeds and thorns and thistles, and there's this constant battle, and it's exhibited throughout all of creation. See, the reality is that it's not just Adam and Eve's sin, but our own sin. To this very day, we continue, many of us, or you know, probably all of us to some degree or another, to walk in disobedience to God, and we have experienced discord or dissonance in our life ever since. But I want to also highlight, I've already kind of talked about this, but I want to highlight today that the impact of sin is clearly seen in creation. If you jump ahead from Genesis to Romans in the 8th chapter, Paul writes and he says this. He says, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God." Why? "For the creation was subjected to futility." So even all of creation is still to this day experiencing the repercussions of our sin. It, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. We clearly see the consequences of sin in creation. We see it. It's all around us. We experience it personally. I experience it myself. I'm 57 years old now. On my little side job, I do a lot of work with a drill, and I'm holding up dispensers and drilling them into walls. And you know what? When I was 20 years old, I could do that and not feel any consequences. But my body, both my shoulders are sore. I'm experiencing a little bit of pain in both of them. Why? Because my body is wasting away. You guys said, yeah, we knew that a long time ago. But it is. My body is wasting away due to the consequences of sin. Not just my own sin, sometimes because of that, but just sin in general. As a part of God's creation, there's a thing, you know, a scientific, it's not a theory, it's a reality, of entropy. Things are not getting better. Things over time wear down and break. These are all consequences of sin. I believe in paradise, that wasn't the case. Things were continually renewing. Things were always growing. But we are constantly battling in creation and in ourselves this sense of decay, right? We are. Even in our spiritual lives, there's a constant battle if we're not intentionally pressing into Jesus and reading Scripture and praying, our spiritual life tends to go what? It doesn't usually get better. It tends to decay. And everything in creation has this tendency to decay. So again, this series is about creation and the Psalms. I haven't even hardly talked about the Psalms yet. And this message is about the consequences of sin as seen in creation. So let's go back to our passage in Psalm 105. He sent his servant Moses and Aaron, whom he had chosen. Now the context of even here in the Psalm is when the children of Egypt, I can talk too, it's been a tough day. The children of Israel have gone down to Egypt. They prospered there because of a famine. They went there for food. And they prospered, and the kings of Egypt became afraid of them and subjected them to bitter slavery, right? And the Egyptians were crying out to God, and God sends Moses and Aaron with a message. Do you know what the message was? Let my people go. And what was Pharaoh's response? To the word of the Lord, what was Pharaoh's response? I'm not going to let the people go. So what is that? That is an act of disobedience to the command or to the word of God. Now listen to the consequences and pay attention to what's happening here. So they performed his signs among them and miracles in the land of Ham. I actually really like the version that Andrew, who's not here, read because it made it really clear. But anyway, he sent darkness and made the land dark because they rebelled against his words. He turned their waters into blood. Now, what are the waters? What are we talking about here? Creation. The created order. And now the consequences of Pharaoh's sin, they're going to impact the people deeply, but they're also impacting creation. He turned their waters into blood and cursed their fish to die. Their land swarmed with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. He gave them hail for rain and lightning that flashed through their land. He struck their vines and fig trees, shattered the trees of their country, spoke, and the locusts came. What we're looking at here is that due to the sin of Egypt, the land was utterly devastated. The land. Creation. Impacted deeply because of Pharaoh's sin and the sin of the people of Egypt. But this is not a message about the sins of the past, but a reminder that all of creation is still groaning under the weight of sin. Now, I'm not going to throw out a whole lot of facts here, but I'm going to throw out a few. And these are just kind of realities, you know, and you can have, you know, I'm not going to really get into climate change and stuff because I know that some say it's so obvious and others, there's a lot of controversy still with that, but there are some things that are real obvious in how sin has impacted creation. Do you know that in the last 20 years, there have been at least 10 species of animals that have been declared extinct? Gone. Gone. Never to be seen again. The Formosan spotted leopard, the Pinta tortoise, the golden toad, the eastern cougar, the West African black rhinoceros, and the Yangtze River dolphin, just to name not all of them, just a few. I almost feel like, can we just have, it's like, let's have a moment of silence, you know? I mean, it's like, it's just like, it's just kind of unbelievable to me. I can't even hardly wrap my mind around how there are species of animals. They're just not here. They're gone. And unlike in ages past when, like the dinosaurs, and that could be another controversial subject, but the dinosaurs, when they went extinct, that was through a natural phenomenon of some kind or just a catastrophic series of events in nature, however you want to look at it. But these animals that I just talked about, they have gone extinct primarily due to human activity. Their lands are gone, you know, their grazing lands, or over hunting or poaching, pollution. These kinds of things. These animals did not die because an asteroid hit the planet, right? They died because of our sin, really. The consequences of human being sin took these animals out. Sorry, what's that? Well, yeah, if they wanted them as pets, they'd still be alive, I guess. But that's true. I mean, it's a reality. My point is, creation is still groaning. Creation is still groaning. Many of you may still remember the images of starving children in Ethiopia. It's back in the 80s, so some of you might, well, most of you here were probably born then, but we'd see images of them all the time. What you may not know, unless you remember Steve Fitch from the Eden Reforestation Project, is that the starvation, the famine that struck Ethiopia was primarily, almost exclusively due to the fact that they cut down all their trees. All their trees. Well, when you cut down all your trees, what happens to your topsoil? It just washes away. And when you wash away your topsoil, how do you think your crops are going to do? They don't. And when you cut down all your trees and you now have no more topsoil and you now can't grow food to feed your cattle and your pigs or whatever, their sheep and their goats, what happens now? They die. And then when all the trees are cut down and all the wildlife is no longer there because that's their natural habitat, you have a famine. Do you know how many people died in Ethiopia alone in 1984 and 1985 due to the famine? Over 1 million people. 1 million people died. Because we thought it was a bright idea to cut down all the trees. Now, let me just make something really clear to you. We've been given stewardship of the planet. I'm going to give you my personal thoughts on this. It's okay to harvest trees. Just go plant new ones. You see what I'm saying? We've been given stewardship of the land. It's okay to, some of you would maybe disagree with this, and that's okay, but it's okay to eat animals and to eat food, right? Just make sure you're caring for them in a responsible manner and that you're doing it in a way that shows respect still for God's creation. Are you with me? Oh, yeah. So I'm not saying don't cut down any trees or don't eat, you got to all become vegetarians or whatever. I'm not saying that. But we have, for the most part, as human beings, chosen not to do that responsibly. And our greed and our desire for money or whatever causes us, sometimes it's been out of necessity. I think in Ethiopia you could contribute it to poor government that led people to they had to cut those trees down just to have warmth, right? So, but all of that, it all traces back to our sin. Do you know that in California, this is the last one I'll lay at you because this is all, a big fat downer, right? But I want you to hear the dissonance. I'll end more positively because I can't help myself. But I want you to sit for a moment with the discord. Because we try to drown it out. We don't like dissonance. We don't like hearing pianos played like that. So we just turn up the other stuff or do whatever so we don't have to pay attention to that. But this morning I am asking you to sit with the discord for a few moments. To sit with the reality that sin, that due to our sin, all of creation is groaning, including you and me, okay? We're groaning under the weight of sin. The last one I'll just lay down before you, and I was a little surprised because I thought it was due more to pollution, but also, there was a beetle that's been introduced. It doesn't belong in Southern California. It's actually from Southeast Asia. And this beetle, combined with the fact that the trees have been weakened due to pollution, in just the next 3 years, Southern California is projected to lose 40% of its trees. 40%. Now, I've already told you the consequences of losing that many, you know, of losing our trees. They're saying it's going to cost $56 billion to try to counteract what's going on in Southern California. I read another article that talked about the palm trees in L.A. They're all dying. That is primarily due to pollution. They just don't, they're more like a grass than a tree. They just don't have the capacity to handle what's going on there. Now, again, I understand this is a big downer, but they've done some studies that where there are trees, people live longer, they're happier. There's like, you know, and again, study, I get it. You know, you can twist studies. But I would just agree, right? I mean, if there were no trees, God, you would be happy with no trees? I'm sure you would not be. God bless those who live in Kansas, man, but I'm telling you, I drive across those plain states and I just can't hardly. It's like, get me out of here. I need some trees. Trees are a huge part of what takes the negative things in our air, and they take it in, and then they produce, you know, oxygen and the stuff that we need to live. Again, I didn't take all the details because I didn't want to bore you, but in this study that they were doing, in the couple, and it wasn't just one. I saw numerous articles and different things about this in Southern California. They said the impact by 2021 on human life would be somewhere in the range of 20 to 30,000 people that would probably die in direct correlation with the loss of all those trees. Now, you'd have to go read the article to go through, you know, to get their justification for that. We are called to steward the earth. It's a biblical call. This is biblical stuff. This is Christian stuff. I know I'm not necessarily preaching about the salvation of your souls, but maybe in some way I am. I know it's not a rousing message of, you know, it's not a huge come to Jesus kind of a thing, but this is biblical stuff. We are called to steward creation, not abuse it. That's part of the curse. That's part of the fall. And as I've said, there are ways to responsibly live in harmony with all that God has given us. It is possible to responsibly till the soil, harvest trees, raise animals, as I said before. But in our greed, we have sinned, and the consequences of our actions are evident all around us. So instead of, Mary, did you know? We have the discordant sounds that emanated from the piano a few moments ago. Creation feels it, humanity feels it, and we are all groaning. We are all groaning. But I can't leave you. I just can't. I wish I could, but I just can't do it. I can't leave you with the sound of a discordant piano. Even though I want to make sure you hear that sound today, I believe that God's desire is to return us to paradise. By the way, did you know that there are going to be trees in heaven? I don't know what you think about heaven, if it's just you're floating around on a cloud and playing a harp. Now, Revelation is very clear, and other biblical references, even in Isaiah, are very clear that there's going to be animals, trees, buildings. It's all going to be perfect and new, right? So God's desire is to return us to paradise. In fact, ultimately, for those who know Christ, we will live in a city and experience a garden that is returned to and experiences harmony in every way. So instead of dissonance, there's going to be harmony. In heaven, we're going to be singing Mary, Did You Know? And Sarah will not be playing the piano with dissonance and discord. Well, she might, but that would just be off on her own somewhere where no one can hear. But anyway. Listen to what it says in Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. So what's there first? What are we seeing? A river of the water of life. Through the middle of the street of the city, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the, what do you think's there? You got a guess?
Tree.
And guess what? A very specific tree. The tree of life. Interesting. The tree of life that we read about in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and 3 is gone. But in Revelation, the tree is back. With 12 different kinds of fruit. And guess what? In heaven, you can eat it. To me, it's a beautiful picture of what we can look forward to. Because on this planet, we have a lot of dissonance and discord. And anybody who would disagree with me there, I would just say, What planet are you living on? I mean, we see dissonance and discord everywhere. So on the either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing is accursed. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore. But the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. I mean, it's this picture of paradise. Creation restored. Humanity restored. The tree of life restored. Harmony restored. And no more discord. And this is what all of creation is waiting for in Romans 8. This is what creation, all of creation is waiting for, this moment of restoration. But what about now? Let's bring it home to today. Can we only watch as creation slowly dies and wait for the final restoration? Do we just sit back and shrug our shoulders and say, oh, well, it's under curse, and so we'll just keep abusing it and hasten the coming of the Lord? I don't think so. No, I believe really that the redeemed of the Lord, those who are experiencing a growing sense of harmony with God, themselves and others, are also called to contribute towards the restoration and the blessing of all creation. Doesn't it seem natural to you? It does to me. That God restores us as people into right relationship with himself. And then God clearly in Scripture calls us to work out and try to be in right relationship as much as is possible with those around us. Live in, as far as it is you're able, live in harmony. Live in peace with those around you, right? And to me, the outworking of that then is to seek to create and walk in harmony with all of creation, with everything that surrounds us. Because that's God's way. God's way is a way of harmony. It's not a way of dissonance. Sin brought dissonance and discord. This is why we give towards Eden reforestation. This is why we leave no trace. Big backpacking term. When we go out into the wilderness. This is why I think it's good for us to work hard to reduce our ecological footprint. You can look that up later. To just reduce our footprints, the impact negatively, especially that we leave behind as human beings, that we do all we can I think Stephanie next week will give you some more practical thoughts on what we can do, but let me just kind of finish with just really one or two more thoughts. You would be absolutely shocked. I mean, I won't pick on Peggy because she likes to sit quietly over there. But Catherine would be, who probably also likes to sit quietly. Catherine would be shocked if I came over to her house, took all of her food away, broke all of her stuff, and then just burned her house down to the ground. Would you be a little shocked? How would you feel? How do you think I, how would you take that as far as my relationship to you? Well, you would not take it as an act of praise and worship, would you? But we do the same to God's, to the house that God has put us in. We do. We abuse it. We disrespect it. And if you don't think this is a Christian topic, I just don't understand where, I don't get it. Because if you start reading through Scripture and just look at all the references to creation, they're there. And we are part of God's creation, but I'm not talking too much about how we treat our bodies today. That was supposed to be funny. Anyway, I went for a 7-mile hike yesterday. So this, I'm just trying to drive the point home that this is a part of who we are as Christians. This is one of many ways that we can strive to honor God, to show our love for God, to respect who God is as creator of all things. Especially if I took something that you made, Catherine, that you put time and energy in, and it was something special to you. You formed it and you looked at it and you said, this is very good. Like God did. And if I took that and just smashed it to pieces. Are you getting the connection? So all I'm trying to do is make some real connections for you. It is a Christian subject. I'm not saying you need to go out and tie yourself to a tree so someone can't cut it down. I'm not saying that. I personally feel that's a little extreme. But you know what? Their heart is to save the creation that we live in. We just need to do so respectfully. So hopefully, I want to end on this a little bit of an up note in the sense that God's heart for you is not to experience complete dissonance in your life. It's all around us. We're never going to get rid of it. The discord, the disharmony, it's all around us. And to some degree, I'm sure we're still experiencing it even within ourselves. But God's call is to one of harmony. Harmony with God, harmony with yourself, harmony as much as it's possible and up to you with other people, and harmony with creation. That's God's heart. It's God's heart so much that in our brokenness and discord, Jesus Christ entered into the world. God looked down and so loved the world, so loved you and I and all of creation that he sent Jesus. And it's interesting that we're broken and Jesus stood in the place. I'm pointing at the communion table. And he was broken. His body, these little cracker-like things that we eat represent the very brokenness of God. In the, not God's not broken, but God offering and being broken for you and for me. And why did the Son of God come, and why did he allow his body to be broken and his blood to be shed? Was it to keep you in your brokenness? Was it to keep you in a place of guilt and shame and where you're feeling downtrodden? Did Jesus come and die and offer his broken body and shed his blood so that you would still be at enmity with all that's around you? I don't think so. I think God's heart is for us to live in harmony. God's heart is for your life to sing, Mary, did you know that your baby boy... You see, I mean, it's beautiful. And we're even going to sing a song in a few moments that talks about just what I'm talking about. That God makes beautiful things out of broken people. God takes the dissonance and discord of our life and wants to bring us into a place of harmony. And it all starts, in a sense, right here. I mean, this is an expression, right? It all starts with Jesus and our receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, putting our trust in the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus, allowing God to forgive us of our sin so that we don't experience guilt and shame and turmoil and dissonance in our relationship both to him and to ourselves. It all starts here, but then it goes out. It goes out. It goes out into our relationships, into all the created order. So with that, I'm going to invite the worship team up. I'm going to pray for you. But if you're here today and you feel like your life is just, you may be a Christian, you may not be, I don't know, but you feel like your life is in dissonance. It's just not working in harmony. Then I just invite you, as you come today and as you take this bread and as you take this cup, take a few moments, open up your heart. God, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I may be a Christian, but I need to do it in a fresh way, in a new way. I've allowed things to creep back into my life that have brought discord and dissonance, and I just need to receive your forgiveness today again, afresh and anew. And maybe for the first time, you just yield yourself. And it's a journey. Trust me. That discord and dissonance continually tries to creep back into our lives. But the way of Jesus is one of harmony with yourself, with God, with others, and creation. So let's worship, and when you're ready to come forward to receive the bread that represents the broken body of Jesus, to drink from the cup representing his shed blood for you and me, then do so with all your heart.